Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Hyatt. I am so glad that you have joined me today for another episode of the Awakening Podcast and continuing our theme of living a life without limitations. Living a life without limitations. And a passage of scripture I want to read today, we've been reading various ones each day, is from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus was responding to a question from his disciples. They had tried to cast the demons out of a young epileptic boy, and they had been unsuccessful. Jesus came along, cast the demon out, and they wanted to, they were questioning why they were not able. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. And nothing will be impossible for you. A life lived without limitations. That's our theme this week. A life lived without limitations. And Jesus here in this passage, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. I love the passage I read last week, Philippians 4:13, where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm living a life without limitations because of Christ who is in me and who empowers me. I want to tell you a personal story of taking the limits off God from my personal family life. It's actually a story of my father. I'm going to guess I was about 10 years old, maybe 11 at the time. And we lived in western Oklahoma. And my father was working on a farm as a farmhand, making 50 cents an hour. We lived in a small farmhouse. My parents, myself, and my three brothers, two bedroom, one bathroom farmhouse. Actually, it didn't even have a bathtub. Had a commode and a sink, but didn't have a bathtub. We had to take turns drawing water from the kitchen sink, and we had a well. We were 7 miles out in the country, and so my dad had a call of God on his life into full-time ministry. Now, it was a real challenge. He had experienced this 12 years before this. God had supernaturally called him into the ministry, which seemed like an impossible thing to him because he had quit school in the fourth grade. He had been such a bad kid, he had been sent off to prison when he was 16. He had come to the Lord after marrying my mother. He was 21, and it was a few years after that that he had this very radical transformation, new birth experience, and also later was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then after that, he began to experience this sense inside that God was calling him into full-time ministry. But he felt all the reasons he couldn't do that. I mean, he only had a fourth grade education. I mean, this is back in the 1940s. There's no Bible schools and things like this around. Well, I won't go into this story, but there was a supernatural encounter and miracle where God called him out into the open and to acknowledge that God had called him. But for 12 years, he had not been able to break in to this calling. And now at this time, we're living out in the country, and he's working on this farm, making 50 cents an hour, and we are attending the Assembly of God Church in town. And so three times a week, on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we will drive into the town for the services. We never miss a service. My parents were very faithful to church. And if they had special revival meetings, we would be there every night. Now, my dad decided that he was going to quit the job on the farm and he was going to move to Dallas, Texas. He had some bricklaying, blocklaying skills, and he had a sister there who had told him, said, you can make more money here than you can on that farm. Why don't you move down here? And so he decided that's what he would do. So he quit his job on the farm. He rented a house in town about a half a block from where we attended church in this small town of Tipton, Oklahoma. And his plan from there was to go to Dallas, get a job, rent a house, and then he would come back and get the rest of the family and move us all to Dallas, Texas. Well, after he quit his job on the farm and moved into town, now I'm talking about living a life without limitations, he heard the Holy Spirit say, "What about pastoring this church?" Now, it was an impression on the inside. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was a very strong impression on the inside, this question, "What about pastoring this church?" Now, this was a big challenge. This was a giant, because there were some well-off people in this church, and he and his family, including me, we were probably down on the lower end of the social economic scale of the people in that church. They would not see him as a pastor. He's a farmhand, a poor farmhand. But he said to God, wondering if this could be God, he said, "God, if this is you, let this pastor resign before the first of the month." There was only one more Sunday before the first of the month, so he thought, yeah, he didn't. And this pastor had given no indication he planned to leave. Well, he was shocked when he went to church on Sunday and the pastor got up and announced his resignation and that he was going to be moving. Wow. My dad was stunned. But God had confirmed that he wanted him to pastor this congregation. So after the service, he went to the secretary of the church and said, "I would like to submit my name to be the pastor of this church." And this church had a congregational form of church government, which meant that their approach to choosing a pastor, if someone wanted to submit their name, they would appoint him a time to preach. After he had preached, he would leave. The church would meet. The church members would meet. They'd cast their vote. And if he got more than 50% of the vote, he could become their pastor. Well, the secretary of the church said, "Well, you're the first one, so you're at the top of the list." Oh, about 2, maybe 3 days later, an older gentleman who was the chairman, and I still remember him in my mind, older white-haired gentleman, he was the chairman of the board of elders or deacons in the church. And he came by to see my dad. And he said to him, "I have been around and I have talked to all the members of the church, and we are in agreement that you are not qualified to be our pastor. So we would like for you to withdraw your name and not go through with having a vote, because if you do, nobody is going to vote for you. And so we think that it would be best and save some hurt feelings if you just forgot about pastoring this church and you went ahead with your plans to move to Dallas." Well, wow, what do you do with that? You believe God has spoken and confirmed that he's called you to be the pastor of this congregation, and they are all in agreement that they don't want you and that you are not qualified to be their pastor. Wow. Well, my dad wasn't a politician, so all he needed to do was turn to God in prayer. So he prayed all night. Nothing. Heard no voice from heaven, no impression, nothing. So he prayed all night a second night. Prayed all night, a third night. I heard him tell this story more than once growing up. And I was there. I remember some parts of this. I don't remember him praying all night because, of course, I'm only 10 years old. I wouldn't be aware of what's going on at night. But he prayed all night, then a third night. Third night in a row praying all night, because there's a desperation and a determination to God. What is going on here? I believe you said to me and you confirmed that you wanted me to pastor these people, but now they tell me they're in agreement they don't want me. The third night, after praying all night, didn't hear any voice, any directions from heaven. But when the sun arose, was coming up over the horizon after that third night of prayer, I heard him tell this many times, he said he looked out a window, and when the first rays of the morning sun shone in his face, he said, "I felt like I was turned into another man." He said, "All of a sudden, I had no fear, no concern about anything or anybody. I wasn't concerned about anybody's opinion of me. The only thing that mattered was being obedient to God." And so he went out and he found the chairman of the board of deacons and he found the secretary of the church. And he said to them, "Brethren, whatever you all do is between you and God. I need to go through with this. They said, okay. So they appointed him a time to preach on a Sunday night, and I still remember his message. Isn't that amazing? That's been, you know, that's been 60 years ago at least, over 60 years ago, more like 65 years ago, 64 years ago. But I still remember his message. And it was taken, his text was taken from one of the minor prophets, I think in the Old Testament, I think it was Habakkuk. Consider your ways. And he preached, and I still remember there seemed to be a special anointing upon him. This farmhand. And he's special anointing. And I still remember when he finished, he said to the congregation, he said, the Hyatt family is going home. It's now between you and God. And so he walked out. My mother and the rest of us got out. We walked out with him. We went home. About 35, 40 minutes later, I can still have pictures and remembrance of this in my mind. Somebody came down to our house and told my dad that he had been voted in 100% to be the pastor. And then other people started coming in, and more people started coming in, and there was a sense of joy and happiness. And then people told what had happened. They said, after you left, he said, Brother Cook, that was the name of the old gentleman who was the chairman of the elders and deacons of the church. They said he got up and he was weeping. And he said to the people, the congregation, he said, I have been wrong about this man. This man is supposed to be our pastor. And the presence of God filled that room, filled that church sanctuary. And people were weeping and their hearts were touched, and the whole situation turned completely around. And whereas everyone came there settled, they were going to vote against my dad, everybody, including Brother Cook, voted for him, and he was voted in as pastor 100%. And my friends, that was an incredible breakthrough. And from that time on, my dad continued in full-time pastoral ministry for the next 35 years or so, until he resigned his last pastorate at the age of 77. Wow. Oh, I'm so glad he took the limits off of God and took the limits off of himself and didn't listen to people for everybody. Even pastors advised him, oh, don't go through with it, forget about it. He said everybody but my oldest brother Harvey, who was 19 at the time, was the only one that encouraged him to go through with having the election. And Harvey said to him, Daddy, if God told you to do this, you better do it. That's good advice. But you see, he took the limits off of God. And something incredible happened that not only changed his entire future, but it changed the entire future of his entire family. And I might not be here today telling you this story if my dad had not taken the limits off God and the limits off of himself. About 65 years ago, my friends, take the limits off God. You have been called to live a life without limitations. Check out my website, would you? EddieHyatt.com. Check out some books. There are books there that will greatly bless you and enhance your walk with the Lord and enhance your understanding of God and His plans for you. And His plan, actually, for this nation and for the nations of the world. So God bless you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Awakening Podcast.